Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord we're able to be together again. Thank you for joining me as we continue a message I began Monday on keys. And the last couple days, we've looked at passages in Isaiah and Revelation about the key of David. And now we want to focus on the keys of the kingdom that Jesus has given to his disciples. But before we do that, let's go back again to Revelation 3:7, and I'm going to share the Living Bible translation of that verse. This message is sent to you by the one who is holy and true and has the key of David to open what no one can shut and to shut what no one can open. And as we learned on yesterday's broadcast, it's so exciting when we understand what was so significant about the key of David, as we found in Isaiah. Eliakim was mentioned. He was the most influential advisor of the king. And the key he was given, that key of David, represented tremendous authority. And to summarize its metaphoric application to Christ, Christ has the key of David. He has the authority over all, if you will, the storehouses, the treasuries of his Father. It signifies unlimited power in his household, the church. He is the peg in a firm place, and all the honor of his Father's house hangs on him. And as we see, as we look at his character, one of the references that the adjectives that describe him, he who is holy, we see the first aspect of his character is that he is holy. No fault can be found in him by God, by man, or the devil. When he walked this earthly realm those 3 years in public ministry, no one could find fault or sin in him. The Father knew that he would be a perfect substitute. He was perfect man. He never relied on his God-given abilities. He received the power he did to do the miraculous that he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. He did no miraculous work or did not even enter into public ministry until he spent time with the Lord those 40 days fasting and prayer in the wilderness. Then he was baptized of John. Then he came in the power of the Spirit, praise God, to begin his ministry. There was no sin. He was without sin, unlike there's not one of us who is without sin. Psalm 30 and 4 says, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Praise God. He is our example. Also, it says that he is true. He is the faithful and true witness, the true expression and fulfillment of the character and mind of God. Remember his disciples, Philip, he said, show us the Father. And he said, how long have you been with me? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 11, another beautiful passage about Jesus. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. Oh, his eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Praise God. And then we see in Revelation, the very first chapter, let me turn to that, and it's verse 5. and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Praise God. Amen and amen. And he's all powerful. He is the true steward of the house of David. He has the key to every situation, the key to every situation in your life, his coming kingdom, and our present and future salvation. He has the keys of heaven, earth, and hell. In Revelation 1:18, this is the modern language translation, I experience death, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I possess the keys of death and of its realm. So this is the character of Jesus. He's holy, he's true, he's all-powerful. Every resource of God, of the Father's house, all the treasuries, all the storehouses. If you've been with me this week, you know Eliakim had access to all the king's treasuries, everything. Who would receive admission to the presence of the king? This is Jesus. Man comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But listen to what he says in Revelation 3:7. He has the key of David, and he opens what no one can shut, and he shuts what no one can open. That is absolute power, beloved. He opens and shuts. That's his twofold work. He opens the door of salvation. Hebrews 10:20 says he opens a new and living way for us through the veil of his own flesh. So many years ago in 1965, when my late husband established this ministry, he entitled it Unveiled Christ, the Unveiled Christ Ministries. And there was a song written in 1917, The Unveiled Christ, and he actually sings that at the end of this broadcast. He's singing this beautiful song, The Unveiled Christ. However, that Unveiled Christ, the veil of his flesh, it talks in Hebrews about being rent. He now has rent the veil, and now we as his people can come boldly before the throne of grace. It's the Lord of glory. That's the unveiled Christ, is Christ who stands in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, praise God, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, and he opens the door of salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That name of the Lord is Jesus, Yahshua, which means salvation. And he opens the doors of our heart. In Acts 16, verse 14, one of them was Lydia, already a worshiper of God, and as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted all that Paul was saying. And with the key of his light, he is also opening the heart of many around this world today that are where the gospel is not allowed to be preached. He's opening the heart, even giving vision and dreams and revelations of the living Christ. And also with the key of his light, he opened the heart of Saul when he was persecuting Christians. Also, he opens the door of the word. In Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 32, these are the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us on the road and opening the scriptures to us? The Bible, to many, to the unsaved, it's a closed book because they don't know the one who can open its meaning. And when we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to take residence, and that's when we begin to understand that which was closed to a mind that is darkened by sin. He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Psalm 119 and 18 says, open thou mine eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then a marvelous thing, I trust you've experienced this in your life, he opens the door of service. This is 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, modern language translation I share with you. Paul is saying, I shall remain in Ephesus, however, until Pentecost, for a wide door is opening up for service, and there are many opponents. He also opens the door of utterance that we may speak boldly as he enabled Moses and David and Nehemiah and Paul. He's no respecter of persons. He's able to do that for us. Open the door of service, open the door of utterance. And then also, as far as opening doors, there's yet other doors he's opened and will open. He opens the doors of heaven and the windows of heaven. In Acts, the 7th chapter, verse 56, Stephen, the first martyr, was being stoned, and he said, "I see the heavens open." And in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 10, the scriptures exhort us to prove the Lord with tithes, and he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you won't have room enough to take it in. That's the Living Bible. And note that the doors of heaven open from within. And now we've looked at the doors that the Lord can open. What about shutting doors? Sometimes we struggle with God's will because we feel the doors are like slammed shut in our face. Well, we may not be able to thank him immediately. The more we grow in the Lord, we begin to understand, thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, you didn't answer that prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you shut that door, because he always has something better. Just today at church, I heard a testimony from a sister. We were praying for a certain job, and it fell through. And the job that the Lord just now opened is so highly superior to what we were asking for. Praise God. Well, you know, I'm looking at my time, and we're going to have to carry on tomorrow in terms of what doors the Lord can shut. But I'd like to share a testimony with you from a sister writing from San Jose, and she said, "I recently turned back to the Lord when I heard your broadcast. Your broadcast and letters are so important to me. I need to know what God has for me during these final last days. The enemy tried to take my life, but God kept me alive, even though I didn't care all those 30 years. Thank you for some poems I sent." And she's a faithful partner in the Lord, a dear sister writing from San Jose. Praise God. Another one from a sister writing from San Francisco. "Thank you very much for the pretty get well card you sent me. I was made happy by its surprise and uplifted by your words and scripture quotes. I think of you, Sister Judith, as a source of Jesus' caring and love, his help, and the promise of betterment. Amen." That's our Lord. It's not me. It's what Jesus has for us, and he ministers to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. I pray for you every day. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.